This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome to Province Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, November 17th. I'm Patrick Johnston. You're in the downtown studios on the line. It's a casual Tuesday, which means it's Stephen Ewan. Steve, how are you?
Outstanding, sir. How are you?
I'm also outstanding. You know, I as you may or may not know, I was in Denver, saw Peyton Manning's worst ever game.
Nice.
And flew home.
Yes. Denver is a great city, though.
It was a good time. Yeah. We had a good time. I was with my buddy Dal, huge Broncos fan, and had an opportunity to grab him some tickets for his birthday a while back. And I said, hey, let's go to Denver. And here we are. So we had a good time. Visit his grand's. Grand lives there. His grand's 89. And she picked the Nebraska bar that we were going to go watch Nebraska play Rutgers on Saturday. So 89. Remember this? And then also reveals to us that she's got one of her friend's son has season tickets to the Nuggets, so she sat courtside at the Nuggets game.
Nice,
coolest grand ever.
Very cool.
Yeah, pretty good. So, anyway, flew home yesterday afternoon and went straight to 8 Rinks to play a little hockey. So
there you go,
and managed to get a morning skate out of all that.
There you go, but you did not see the Canadians play the.
I'm not too aware of that. But before we talk about that, I also want to reveal that I just came from Jonathan McDonald's office, where a batch of photos has been discovered by one of our librarians, Sandra Boutillier. And they're photos from the 1986 Canucks training camp in Duncan.
And nice.
They're kind of amazing. There's some amazing pics. For some reason, in those days, we did our own mugshots. The team didn't actually do that. I don't understand why, but there you go. So the picture is Steamer. Stan Smeal standing there in front of a cinder block wall wearing his mostly ripped up undershirt. Kind of amazing.
There you go.
It may be worthy of a blog post sometimes.
There you go.
Steve. Well, I knew that the Canucks went up 3-0. Very aware of this. And that they didn't win. But that's not really a shock, is it?
No. They are what we thought they are. They're young and they're inexperienced and they're... You know, they're a 500 team, and they're good teams. Good teams don't give up leads late in games, and they're having trouble with that right now.
Now, you have been doing most of the game day skates so far this year, and I'm wondering.
Yeah, at home, yeah.
Yeah, at home. I mean, I'm wondering, even from that kind of. Perspective, you know, you're not necessarily you're not in the room after the game. You don't quite see the same emotions, I guess. But do you get a sense of how this group sort of feels about itself when you're kind of going to the rink every few days?
Not really. I don't have the grasp that a Botchford or a Kuzma would have. I think they realize that this is a building year. I think the 101 points last year set expectations probably too high. And I think this is a group that's really trying to work in three or four or five, right now five kind of young guys. And it shows that. It shows they're a group, which we've talked about before, that's got its kind of older generation and it's got its young generation that's really missing kind of its prime group. So they are kind of, they are what we thought they are.
I guess the question was something I put out in the morning skate this morning, which is, obviously his Botch highlight, Bo Horvat's being asked to do a lot and is struggling at times. One of the numbers I then saw pointed out by Jason Brough was that, Brandon Sutter clearly has been the Canucks' best penalty killer, that the team sort of goals against rate when he is killing penalties is the lowest, and it's far and away the lowest, and there's a huge difference between him and Horvat, and Horvat's trying to fill that role. And so the question I put forward was, well, I guess we'll see, but hopefully Bo Horvat is learning from all this. There's no reason to think he isn't. The guy's getting lots thrown at him. And from that standpoint, if we're thinking positive, all these guys getting all this experience means that this team could pivot quite quickly, much more quickly, I think, than maybe we thought they would. Not necessarily this season, but maybe next season. They all develop a bit of strength, get a bit of experience. I mean, I third thing to throw into this little vat here is Elliot Friedman's 30 Thoughts, where he talked to some of the young guys about, you know, what who's caught you off guard, what's been really tough as a young player to realize or to recognize. And, you know, Jared McCann mentioned playing, going up against Jason Spezza and seeing a puck there and thinking that he could rip it off him, and he couldn't. Spezza's just strong, yeah, you know, and he knows what he's doing, and he's been playing it, you know, he's been playing at this level and whatever. And Ben Hutton, who I think is, you know, needs a little, probably given how things have been going lately, maybe goes a little bit back, needs to go back to the drawing board defensively, but talked about how tough it was going up against a guy like Evgeny Malkin. And so you hear them think about what they're going up against and what the challenges are. And certainly the answers there are right that, you know, hopefully there's a pivot sooner than we expect.
This is going back to some of the things they did, you know, they did in the offseason, and kind of the why. That's why they went and got Brandon Prust.
Right.
To help these guys, you know, kind of bring their game along. Hopefully they're learning. Hopefully they're not getting crushed. I mean, it's funny, you hear people talking about, oh, Shinkarev should be getting top six ice, and this should happen, you know, that should happen, and you know, and then they, you know, why is Willie breaking a guy slowly? Well, then you look down the bench at Horvat, and kind of where, you know, his game's at right now, and. To ask 18 and 19 and 20 year old guys to do what they're asking, you know, this group to do is part of the reason this group is where it is right now, right? And part of the reason, you know, again, I keep going back to it, they're short a generation of players.
Yeah,
they don't have that group, and I mean, this is part of the whole growing pains of this team. I think we're seeing them go through it right now is they're having trouble with leads, they're having trouble, you know, playing well in third period.
It is going to be interesting to watch where things go. I mean, in the end too, is that you know, the bounce that there are, even as sort of adequately they've been playing at times, I guess I keep saying they're a decent team, you know, the going 0-6 in OT and you know, having all these one goal losses suggests there's the sort of the glass half full, glass half empty kind of deal. The half empty one would be, well, they're just not greedy enough, they don't know how to win, that kind of old school kind of angle on it. But mm-hmm. you know, the new school one,
they're not a hard team to play yet.
Yeah, but I'd say what I was going to say was that the other way you can look at that is that, you know, that they're not getting any bounces right now. You talk about some of the shooting, you know, Radim Vrbata. You look no further than Radim Vrbata to understand the shooting, you know, the bad luck the guy's facing right now. It's not like a guy's not shooting, just nothing's going in. And
he's 4.5%
something like that. You know,
before, and I think he's a career 9.5 guy.
Yeah.
I think he shot 11% last year.
Yeah,
he's a better player than that. Prust comes back, you know, as much as you know, he's not going to run your power play, he's going to bring you back some calm and some poise. And you know, Brandon Sutter comes back, he's going to bring you back some calm and some poise, and you know, eat up some very valuable minutes. I think that was one of the things, going back to conversation I had over the summer with Brendan Gallagher and Lance Boma. And all I said, you know, we were just kind of just shooting the ball. And I said, geez, you know, Jim Benning is, you know, taking a lot of hits for some of his moves. And that as far as I got, and they both started raving about how great a player they thought Brandon Sutter was and what a great ad he was. So there's two guys you would think who would have a good grasp of the way the NHL works, saying that they were big fans of Brandon Sutter. And as far as I know, the three of them don't know each other.
Right.
It's not a case of they were talking at one of their buddies. I could be wrong. There could be a connection there that I can't think of, but I don't see them being like friends. I don't think they were kind of pumping the tires of a buddy.
The unpromptedness, I guess, of the comment really stands for itself in the end, whether they know each other or not.
Yeah. I know, I didn't get to the point where I was bringing up names. All I said was Benning was taking a lot of hits. So.
To me, it is a reminder. I mean, in the end, you know, like there's still a long way to go, but it's a reminder of, you know, you take guys out of the lineup who, you know, at worst don't hurt you when they're on the ice, and both Prust and Sutter definitely fall in that category, but also have upside to them in terms of the roles they fill. And, you know, you take those guys out of the lineup and you got to put somebody else in that spot. And sometimes that has a knock on effect elsewhere in the lineup because you're taking somebody out of a role that they're best at, putting them somewhere else. And, you know, I mean, we're definitely seeing that right now. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see
Spezza too. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, as much as people like to crack on him, he eats up valuable minutes.
Well, what, you know, Spezza, interestingly, the couple of Canucks Army guys, you know, who have been no fan of Spezza in recent, you know, last year, mm-hmm. are saying, listen, the guy has improved. He's doing better. He's in a better role. He's got better partners. You know, he's better suited to what they're asking him to do. He doesn't have to be the kind of back end of, you know, Kevin Bieksa rolling up the ice and Kevin Bieksa himself not being what he used to be. So, you know, mm-hmm. he's in a better space, I think. Absolutely. Very good point. You know, the team definitely, you know, what's Willie's word? They need his bite. Was that the word?
Yeah. Is that an AV or a Torts word? I mean, you take those three guys out. Those are three. And they've replaced them with guys that aren't as, and I hate this term, but hard to play against.
Right.
I mean, Spezza, for all his, all the Spezza guys that hate on him and his problems at times handling the puck, is a big physical guy. And you know, I'm certain that when he's checking you, you know he's checking you. And, you know, you take that away, that's part of, you know, part of what's happening here. Ryan Miller hasn't been great of late. That's part of what's happening here. The special teams have, you know, kind of struggled. I mean, you know, when you're struggling in that many areas, this is what happens. You end up going 0-6 in overtime.
Speaking of teams struggling, you want to talk about the Giants? Mm-hmm. Your Vancouver Giants?
Yeah, they're not playing. Yeah, they're struggling as well. Tyler Benson is starting to look like Tyler Benson again. I think that's part of the issue. And they're trying to break in all these new, you know, the Trevor Coxes and you know, the Chase Langs and all these guys. And I think they're a team. They're essentially going through, you know, a second training camp. So they are kind of where you think they'd be. I think they've won once in their last 10 or whatever it is. They're starting to get better. They're starting to come out of it. The one saving grace for them is I don't think the West is very strong this year. So I think they could roll off 3 or 4 or 5 wins in a row and be, you know, back in the hunt.
Big game for a little guy on the weekend too.
Tyronic?
Yeah.
I think Lauren Malkin, the coach, talked about him being their best guy. And I think that's fair. It was interesting because he wasn't a guy that you thought of being one of their core guys coming out of training camp. And I think they sat him down and they talked about how he had to, you know, get to the middle of the ice and get the scoring areas. And he's doing that. He's playing fearlessly and, you know, especially for a guy who's 5'9", 165 pounds.
You wrote about
him. His Friday game was as good a game out of a single guy as maybe we've seen since another little guy, Brendan Gallagher, was playing as good a single performance, individual performance.
You wrote about him over the weekend, and I guess I found myself thinking, you know, obviously, look, it's his draft year, that kind of thing. But I guess the real question is can he repeat? You know, can he find the sort of next level where he does this every week? And you know,
can he stay healthy?
Yeah. Well, that's as much as anything. Yeah. I mean, that was.
I think that's the great question. He's a guy that's had some injuries, and we'll, you know, we'll see what he's learned about getting out of harm's way. Will they play him with Trevor Cox, another small guy, albeit a guy that's 20 and has kind of made his way around the league? Has been 109 points last year in Medicine Hat. You know, can they find a way to have those two guys effective with, say, Tyler Benson in the middle? This is a team that's really trying to figure itself out again. Unfortunately, I mean, hindsight is 2020, but you wonder if these aren't the type of moves that they should have made over the summer, that they should have cleared out the old guard and brought in kind of a new core group. I mean, it's easy to say now. Flip side, they were already changing the coach. I wonder if, you know, changing the core at the same time made a lot of sense.
My question from that standpoint, and one of the challenges, you know, adult professional teams have across the board is that they don't get, you know, they bring guys in, but they never get a chance to really practice, and the guys don't really get a chance to really kind of get used to the team system until the next season. Do the Giants practice enough to overcome that kind of a problem?
Oh, yeah. I think they go – on a average week, they practice three times. On a right. you know, good week, they get in three or four.
Okay.
So I think they had a chance. I did pose that question to Scott Bonner about, you know, should you, what if you changed the core? And his response was he didn't think he would have got the value back trade wise.
Oh, interesting.
If he had moved those guys out over the summer.
Interesting.
I think the Giants over the past couple of years have been, I think, less than the sum of their parts. I think guys are going to go other places and find and be better players, put up better numbers. So it's just a case of the mix here just hasn't been right. And I mean, it's without being actually in the dressing room, you're not 100% sure why. I mean, obviously the coaching issues last year were also a play.
Yeah, absolutely. Last one I wanted to talk about before we have a wrap up was, speaking of coaching issues, the BC Lions wrapped things up on the weekend. Didn't look all that great against the Stampeders, I understand. Jeff Tedford has another year. Wally Buono. I mean, these are things that Ed Willis covered in his musings. But what's sort of your perspective, having dealt with the Lions from the last, I don't know, a couple months? What's sort of your perspective about where things sit with that team and what may or may not happen in the offseason? They've got, what, 19 free agents, including some pretty high-profile names.
CFL's always got lots of – I think that's – again, it's a team, you know, Tedford figuring out, do you bring back George Cortez, the offensive coordinator, because so many times their offense looked really bland. Jonathan Jang should be, should be hugely better next year. I think you have to bring back Andrew Harris. I think you have to have that A1 running back, particularly a Canadian guy. Do they have the cash to pay him? I mean, are they going to go out and what's it going to take to bring him back? Especially a guy originally from Winnipeg. I mean, the Blue Bombers have to be, chomping at the bit to take a swing at him. So they've got some great questions. Ed Willis brought it up today, can they afford to not bring back Travis Lule? Is he a guy you groom to be your next offensive coordinator, maybe your head coach somewhere down the line, much like Calgary did with Dave Dickinson. So lots of interesting things there. The fan base, what can you do to bring the fan base back? They've got lots of work to do.
That's something that really hit home for me when I sort of sat there and thought about the decline, both the record and then the decline in attendance. And I think it was our old pal LU pointed it out, on Twitter and then on the radio about, that this is the worst run for the Lions since, the mid-90s. And that, you look at the broader marketplace and how things are changing, and the Lions have a lot of work to do, and they need the biggest thing. I mean, first of all, is winning, but second of all, they are at risk of losing new fans. That winning will help them win new fans. But they're in a market.
Winning is the only marketing that matters.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, but the other thing I was going to say was that, in terms of your long-term viability, you have to have people who actually know the game as well, right? You need to build your core. And that if you're losing, I think there's plenty of reason to think that they lost fans both from the core and from the sort of casual group, and that the game, that even TSN's numbers, TSN's numbers for this regular season were down 20%. And then the playoff games on the weekend didn't do all that great, that they were not among the more stellar. And there's lots of reasons for that, but I think on the whole that the game as a whole is having a hard time, and, still strong in Prairies, but everywhere else. Yeah, no, but I'm saying, you need to figure. They need to figure that out, because the trend line for certainly the last couple of years has not been good. And
their league is, their fans are getting older.
Well, and I look
where, at soccer. Soccer in this town, especially, is becoming kind of hip and kind of the place to be, where the CFL tends to be the. Tends to be an older fan. They need to find a way to kind of excite the 20-something.
Without even thinking about soccer, I think about what I saw in Denver on Sunday. I'd never been to an NFL game before, and the Broncos didn't play very well at all. Peyton Manning had his worst ever performance, And nonetheless, people are have, you know, people are enjoying themselves. They're having a good time. You know, I was sort of describing it to my brother, and he, the way he said, man, it sounds like the world's biggest living room. And he was exactly right. That the fan experience, that the fan, what I'm saying is that the fans are enjoying being in the stands, even if the game isn't all that great. They're enjoying each other's company. The banter was excellent. The vibe in the stadium was excellent. And that, you know, I mean, obviously that's a long-term winning team that's done very well. But as a concept, I don't know if that's an atmosphere that you get at Lions games. I mean, I think about the Lions games I've been to in recent years, and it's so scattershot in the stands, and there's sort of no unifying force that. I think the Lions
you're also
need
talking
to build
about the difference between American sports and Canadian sports.
Maybe.
And Jonathan and I were talking about this earlier about how if UW was up for the national final, much like UBC is one win away from going to the Vanity Cup, it would be a huge story.
Right.
Where you wonder here if UBC wins next week, what kind of traction will that get? Well, but Americans have a different belief system, and they value sports differently.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, at the same time, I've been looking at some, you know, that the UBC football story this season has drawn a lot of interest. There's been a lot of traffic on our site. People are reading it in a way that I haven't seen in the, you know, the three falls that I've had before here. So
I know, and they've done great, you know, they've done great work, but you haven't seen a lot in terms of other media jumping.
Okay,
on.
Fair enough. Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying in the end, though, is that no matter what everybody else is doing, I mean, the NFL, obviously the NFL is the best at this, but there are lessons I think to be learned there. And the CFL, in, you know, I would think they would be smart to go and say, listen, how do we revitalize what fans get at the game? You know, how do we get people hanging around the stadium before the game? You know, do you find a way? I mean, BC Place obviously doesn't have huge parking lots around it anymore, but surely there are ways to find to build the full day experience, you know, that they're, because they play on weekends, they play downtown, you know, I think they would do well if they spent more money outside the stadium than they currently do, because there's certainly no sense of a buzz. Oh, wait, let's go hang out at the stadium and then go inside, you know, which was very much the case in Denver on Sunday. You know, that those guys.
Again, but that's a whole complete rethink. It's a whole.
Well, but that's my point.
To reinvent. But I mean, you have to do that with the whole entire sport base. Americans look at sport differently. Americans look at it as a meeting place, as a community event.
I look at what the Whitecaps have done and how they have created a singing soccer culture in a broader culture that does not exist. And I look at the way I say, listen, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that, you know what, whatever you're doing right now is not working. So why don't you try something completely different? And to me,
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it makes a whole. I think you need to find. I think part of my issue, and I think as I get older, and as you know, as I get less and less inclined to drive,
mm-hmm.
I think you need to find ways to get people there easier.
Yeah.
And I think that's I think the advent of the big screen TV and the home theater.
Yeah.
Right, because as much as the CFL numbers were down, I didn't see the weekend numbers, but the last regular season game, the Calgary BC game, was like almost 500,000 across the country.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the weekend numbers, I think the sort of expectation, usually playoff games will pull in 1 million people, and they didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the first game was interesting. The BC game, like, what, as much as people here wanted to, you know, say that the Lions had a shot,
right?
You really didn't think they did. I think next week will be more telling.
Yeah, in the end, that point does come back to this was a 7-11 team. Who really wants to watch a 7-11 team play against, you know, a team like Calgary, who, you know, are just about the league's best team, you know?
Oh, yeah, and I mean, lost in a lot of the coverage here was the fact that they by the midpoint of the game, they had two defensive linemen playing offensive line.
Right.
And BC still couldn't affect them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think that's part of the issue, you know, issue two is I think there's a great, you know, it's becoming more and more of a two-tier league or even a three-tier league. And it's hard to get people excited about, you know, when you're not one of those top tier teams, right? So I think that's, you know, that's a great challenge. I think it's just, it's becoming a harder sell in this market for sport.
Yeah.
And I wonder about the traffic, and I wonder about the, you know, getting the games. I think that's a great challenge. And I think getting people out into their cars and getting them to the games, getting them into the stadium. And I think part of what works with the baseball is the fact it's outdoors and it's a great social event. Can you do that in BC Place? Can you do it in Rogers Arena? Can you do it Pacific Coliseum? I don't know what the answer is. If I had the answer, I'd be stinking rich right now.
Speaking of being stinking rich, you now have your what is it? Your hot tub outside? What are we calling it? Pool spa.
Swim spa, I think, is the swim technical spa term.
Who are you bringing over for your Sunday barbecue and perhaps a dip in your pool spa?
I you know what? I'd still like to go with Holly Holm.
Oh, there you go.
So I think that's another great question. Did Ronda Rousey's loss, how badly did that hurt UFC? Did it, you know, did it take some luster off their one mainstream star?
Yeah, especially since Holly Holm was not really a name you knew before last week, if you were a casual observer of the UFC.
Yeah, and you know, Rousey was the one name, and I they're the one name that could draw in, non-fight, non-combat sport fans.
Right.
You know, how much of a hit did they take? I be interesting to kind of, you know, grab a seat with her in the old swim spa and kind of throw that around and see what she thought.
Well, you know where they'll be discussing that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The Keyboard Kimura podcast.
Paul, where Chapp. Can you find that?
Provinceports.com.
Who's on that?
Who's on that? Spencer Kite and Paul Chapman. P Chap.
Love those guys.
Yeah, I do love those guys. ESK. I'm going to invite old Bo Horvat. The guy, the guy's been talked about a lot. He's had a lot thrown at him. I think he needs a little rest. He could probably just chill out, maybe even have a little chat with Holly Holm, find out what it's like to be the underdog and take out the reigning global, you know, best ever, whatever champion. I think the guy could use it. I mean, Bo's had a lot. I mean, it's always going to happen. You know, played very well last year, grew a lot. And then, you know, the team kind of looked and said, listen, we want to play these kids. And, you know, to their credit, they're playing their kids and they're having some results. And they may still, you know, they're in a good spot to make the playoffs. And if you want to teach guys how to really play the game, you know, we all know that the playoffs are the place. So, you know, it's.
But here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you ask him? I think one of the things I like to ask him if he comes over for our little shindig, if the struggles continue, do you let Vertanen and McCann go to World Juniors?
Oh, that's a good one.
Do you bring up, you know, Gaunce and Shinkarak or whoever?
Yeah,
and that, you know, let those two guys go off and have one of those once in a lifetime experiences at World Juniors and see what that does to build their confidence and build their, you know, put them in pressure situations. Because, you know, I mean, we love our World Juniors, whether we win gold or we win gold.
You know what, Steve? I think that's a great topic for next week.
Well, I think that's a little bit of a spoiler there, but okay.
Yeah, no, but I think it's an interesting topic, and I think it's one that is worthy of discussion. But I think we're running a little low on time here, so I think folks, tune in next week to hear Steve Ewan pick his entire Team Canada. I'm joking.
There you go. No, and you know what? We can do that.
You want to do that? All right, I like that.
I can totally do that.
All right, folks, Steve is, of course, on Twitter at Steve Ewan. You can find him at problemsports.com. He's got all kinds of, I don't know, what are you writing? Or you're on vacation, technically, aren't you?
I'm technically on vacation. This is a one-off.
All right, you go take a break, and we'll see you again soon. And I'm, of course, on Twitter at Rising Action. You can find tons of other content, Problem Sports Radio, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn. If you need to find, if you got another podcast.
Where can you find the
Probbies? Sorry?
Where can you find the Probbies?
The Probbies?
The Jason Botchford.
What are those?
Probbies.
Oh, I've never heard. I believe they're called the Probbies.
The Probbies.
Did you pick up on that?
I saw that out of the East,
yeah. Yeah, back Eastern. It's a bit like saying Strachan or Strawn. Or Still or Steel. How do you like that? There you go.
There we go.
All right, buddy.
We are going sideways. We should get out of here.
See you later.
Okay, thanks so much.